much about it. But God has called you and I, each one of us, to give our heart to the Lord. He's called us to go. We go, and He's called us to share our story and spread the word. Often we look at His little Bible, we kind of, oh, that's just pretty cute. We don't give it much credit. Our job is to go and tell and share. I don't think we get so spoiled with our Bibles. You know, I'm a Bible hoarder. I'll admit, you know, I got a problem. I love Bibles. I got a new one the other day. It was so awesome. I bought one for a friend. I go, oh, you got to see this. It's got, you know, I mean, it's just like, and so sometimes I think because we have such access to it that we don't give it the credit due. And we don't understand it's not our responsibility. Salvation is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to plant the seed. And when we plant the seed and believe that this is the Word of God, and we believe that there's power in this Word, to where they open it up and the words they come to life. And they read about freedom. They don't know what freedom is, but then they read there's freedom available to even them. And there's salvation, there's mercy, there's grace. Come on. That's God's job. Our job is to plant the seed. That's what these gentlemen get to do all across the world. They give these cute little Bibles. A few years ago, I pulled it out of the Willard High School for picking up one of our kids, and there's men out there giving the Bible. I'm not going to tell God how he can and how he can't save. The right time, you heard the story about the lady in the hotel room, at the right time, this book comes alive. We have this opportunity this morning to invest in this. And what you're doing this morning and giving is investing in the Word of God. So I'd love to see how many Bibles we can buy this morning. And so I want to ask the ushers to come forward. We're giving offering. Your offering is going straight to that. Buy these cute little Bibles, maybe some full-size Bibles, whatever their need is. Just buy the Word of God and get it out there. And get it out there. And get it out there. And get it out. And so that's what we got, opportunity to invest in this. So would you stand with me this morning? And well, maybe you can get some money. And if you're like me, I don't carry cash either. And so go to brighton.church, look at the little hamburgers top right, click on one of those, give. In the giving section, there's Gideon Bibles. Click that, and then go to that, and we'll make sure they get it. And so, again, I want to see how many of these Bibles we can buy for them to pass out. And let's do our part in sowing the seed. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray this morning. God, I pray for this offering. I pray this offering goes further than we can even imagine, Lord God. God, this offering provides hundreds of seeds to be planted all across this globe, Lord. And let the right person, the right time, God, this is a divine appointment, happen where they pick up this word and they find life. They find freedom, Lord God. They find mercy, not judgment, Lord Jesus, God. They find the verse that says, just call upon my name. Oh, Lord, we pray that these little Bibles represent divine appointments all across this globe, Lord God, to people coming in touch with you. So I pray this morning, you bless this gift, you bless this offering. In precious name we pray. Amen, amen. Before you're seated, give somebody a high five and say, go Chiefs. You may be seated this morning. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Go ahead and have a seat. Have a seat. Woo. All right, I'm going to warn you. Have a seat, buckle up, because I got a word to share, and it's going to go fast. My wife said the first service, I don't know if you took a breath. So, you know, I just need one of those oxygen tanks. Just pipe it right in. That way I don't have to take a breath. But this morning, we did a little mini-series, kind of a two-week series about prayer, because we think it's so important. We think prayer is the most undervalued resource of the church. I think we all know about it. We all believe in it. Well, how often do we turn to it? And so that's been the challenge, and we'll continue that challenge tonight, because the Word teaches us is blessings that God wants to bestow on us. There's 3,000 promises in this Word, and there's power. And so my question to you is, maybe what blessings have you not tapped into for your own life, for your marriage, for your kids? What blessings have you not claimed? You know, we told last week there was something like, I forget the number, but like $2.5 billion worth of gift cards that go unclaimed every year. That is a ridiculous number of gift cards. That's the promises in the Word of God. There's these promises in the Word of God that go unclaimed in your life because you're not cashing them in. And we learned about guys like Jacob last week. Jacob, God already declared blessings over Jacob when he was born. So there's these blessings, like this is right for Jacob, right here. But then we go through the story of Jacob, and it wasn't until Jacob was wrestling, did an all-night wrestling match with the angel, and that's when he finally laid hold to the promises that was available to him. They were available to him, but he was like, so many of you guys that throw that gift card in the kitchen drawer, or in the sock drawer, or in the bottomless purse, and you never use it, right? That was Jacob for a long time, till finally one day something clicked that night. He said, I'm not going to let you go. And it wasn't that he was trying to manipulate God to give him something that he came up with his own. These were promises that were there for him. He just finally tapped into them. He finally got the blessings. Today we're going to talk about another guy like this, Daniel. Some of you know the story of Daniel. Incredible story. If you haven't read through it, go back to the book of Daniel. And we're just going to snapshot it for you this morning. But Daniel was an Israelite, and they've been taken over, basically. They get them captive, right? So Israel had this problem of failing God. God warned them, say, listen, if you don't stop, you're going to get taken slaves. You're going to get captive. Everything you see, your city is going to be torn down. Did they listen? No, they didn't listen. And so now we're up to Daniel. And so Daniel and his friends got captured. He's probably in middle school years about this time. And so they get captured. And Daniel's selected to be a part of this program with the brightest kids in the area. And they're going to go through this Babylonian training, right? And what happened was is the Babylonian Empire wanted to brainwash these kids into their lifestyle, into their religion, to their gods. And these kids would help run the nation, okay? And so Daniel was selected in this program. And we see through a series of events how God blessed Daniel and how Daniel distinguished himself above all others. And first, we see the first thing that was done was, so they get captive, they bring him to the king's courtyard, and they say, all right, you're going to eat the best of the best, what we reserved for the king. Well, there's two problems with that. One was some meat that at this time, that were, because of religious reasons, they couldn't eat. But the second part would, they take all this food that was about to eat, and they would offer it up to the gods. They do all kinds of religious ceremonies around it, dance around, do all these things, and they'd bless it. And well, that way, that was unclean for them to eat. That's the second way. And so he couldn't do this. So Daniel says, all right, what if we don't eat? And the guy said, well, if you don't eat, I'm going to kill you. He said, well, hang on, try this. Give me 10 days, let's see how it works out at the end of 10 days. The guy said, all right, let's do it. And sure enough, after 10 days, they go through it, and Daniel and his friends are healthier and stronger than the ones eating the king's meat. Amazing, right? Okay, then we get to Daniel chapter 2. In chapter 2, we see that God gives Daniel this incredible man of wisdom and skills. He's at the top of his class. And God gave him the ability to even interpret some dreams, which caught a lot of people's attention. And Daniel, you know, he wasn't just studying the books. He could tell you what you were thinking about, which, you know, today would be like Google, right? And so Daniel was like an ancient Google, version of Google. And so chapter 6, where I want to pick this up at, okay? Chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom. Basically like government officials, what a satrap is. Verse 2, and over them three high officials, of whom David was one, to whom these satraps would give an account. So out of 120, they selected three, and Daniel was one of the three. Now get this picture. Daniel is a foreigner. They dress him up to look like one of theirs. They give him a new name to look like one of theirs, but he's still a foreigner. And you just got selected to be basically like one of the highest people in the kingdom. You're over all these officials, these satraps, who were born and raised there. Now, what do you think all these guys are thinking about you at this moment? They're like, you're not nice. They probably got all kinds of choice words. They don't like him, right? But Daniel became distinguished. He became above all, higher than the officials and satraps. Scripture says, because he had an excellent spirit. Come on. I really can't spend no time there, but that's good. He had an excellent spirit. I'm telling you, when you got a prayer life and you walk throughout this day to day, people will notice an excellent spirit in you. You can't help but to produce fruit everywhere you go because you have this excellent spirit in you. It doesn't just happen. It comes through prayer life. And that's all I'll say because I need to move on. But anyway, so the king planned to set him over all the kingdom. These officials, I told you, don't like him. They came up with the plan. They say, all right, let's get him out of here. So they looked. They looked at the way he conducted business. Does he take any money under the table? Is he bribing people? Is he cutting corners? Is he lying? They couldn't find anything wrong with him, right? And so they finally landed, all right, we should not find any grounds to complain against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. These guys, they said he just obeys the laws of God too much. Well, that you're in good shape when that's all they got against you. All right, so then verse 6. Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. They're sucking up right here, all right? All the high officials of the kingdom, the perfects, the satraps, the counselors, the governors, and are agree that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any other god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast in a den of lions. Now, den of lions was like the worst punishment they had in their time, okay? And so now, verse 8, now, O king, establish an injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed, according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. So they reference this law for a specific reason. It's like the ultimate peaky promise. According to their law, even if you change your mind, you can't change that because of the sign. There's no take backs, right? And so this is it. This is the way it goes, right? And so they changed it. The king signed it, and he fell into the pitfall of flattery and bad advice. And I love this next part. The very next verse, verse 10, look at this. When Daniel knew the document had been signed, that should be like huge red flags. Like for me in my life, I knew that document signed. I might be changing some things. But look what Daniel did. He went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open. Okay, I'm at least closing the windows, right? I'm like, oh, there's no reason to boast about it. I was just closing windows and I had my prayer time. He left the windows open. Right, open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he'd done previously. This was his mode. This is what he did. Listen, he didn't take marching orders from the king. He didn't take marching orders from social media. He didn't take marching orders from his friends. He didn't take marching orders from what's current in society or current in culture. He took marching orders only from God. Come on, that was the way, that was his key to success. Because listen, when you try to please everyone, you're going to fail. You can't even please yourself. And so when you're only concerned with pleasing God, come on, that makes life a lot more simpler. Decision making is a lot more simple. Just a couple things this morning. Before I forget, I want the worship team to come back up because I got 10 minutes here. So I got 2 points for you in 10 minutes. I'll try. First thing I wanted us to see through Daniel's prayer life is our prayer should be characterized, and these 2 points are 2 points that we don't like. These are 2 words that we don't like in our life. This first one is our prayer should be characterized by discipline. How many likes discipline? If you raise your hand, you're lying. We don't like discipline. And so our prayer life should be characterized by, and what I'm saying is the story tells us Daniel prayed routinely 3 times a day. I think that makes a strong case that this was the primary source of Daniel's strength. I mean, he talked to God as much as he ate. There's something to that. The most important discipline you have every day is the time you meet with God. Listen, for those of you who don't have a daily time with God, I don't know how you do life. I don't know how you do marriage. I don't know how you do relationships. I don't know how you, if you don't have a prayer life, I don't know how you get through those things. I mean, Jesus prayed all night before choosing disciples. How many of you make big decisions and you haven't even gone to the Lord to seek directions? I mean, what if prayer is God's means of strengthening our spirit to avoid temptation? And so essentially what we're saying is prayer is there's this pull of life that pulls us to the flesh. That means it pulls us toward temptations, pulls our eyes to look a certain direction, pulls our words to say certain things, pulls our emotions to get angry. And so there's this pull of the flesh in our lives. And what prayer does, it breaks that pull. It weakens that pull and strengthens Christ in us. What if you start praying, bathing each day in prayer? And I'm not saying that 3 times a day is the magic number. But if you start praying, bathing each day in prayer, Pastor, I don't need a set time. I'll just pray. Baloney. That's like you saying, you know, I'm going to go work out today. When are you going to go? I don't know. Just whenever I got time. Guess what? You're not going to have time because you don't want to do it. Same way in prayer. I'm going to pray sometime today. When are you going to pray? I don't know when I got time. You won't because you won't have time. And so what I'm saying is we have to be disciplined. You need to start setting a time. Because if you set a time, guess what? You commit. That's why you don't want to set a time, because you don't want to commit. Come on, somebody. You know I'm speaking the truth. And so you set a time. I challenge you. Start praying 3 times a day, 5 minutes a day. Some of you are like, oh, that's no big deal. Okay, well, if you don't have that in your life, that's going to be a big deal. But we got to start somewhere. We're going to start discipline of prayer in our life. Because why? I want to remind you why in Psalms 127:1 it says this, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Some of you are laboring in vain because you're doing all this hard work. You're doing life. You're trying to do marriage. You're trying to raise a family all under your own power. I'm sorry, but it's in vain. And so we're going to start the discipline of prayer in our life. We have to have this in our life. I challenge you. 5 minutes, 3 times a day. What's going to happen? You do that for a week, that 5 minutes is going to stretch out to 6 minutes. Do that for a month, you're going to be sad. You got to leave the presence of God to go do your other thing, because you see how valuable it is. We got to start the discipline of prayer. Secondly, another word we don't like, but our prayer should be characterized by endurance. 2 quick observations from Daniel's life. Look at this. This is challenging for even me. Daniel was willing to be thrown in the lion's den before he stopped praying. Think about that. What if somebody came to you right now and say, listen, you're going to be chunked in a pit with a lion, or stop praying? What are you going to do? Come on. I mean, you guys aren't acting like it, but that's hard. So how valuable is prayer to you? I mean, Daniel is willing to lose his life over it. How much do you and I prioritize it? Again, my challenge. Start a Bible plan, Bible reading plan. There's thousands of them. You go in the YouVersion, they've got a bazillion of them. You can start it right now. Start a Bible reading plan. Start a dedicated prayer time every day. The biggest change, the game changer will be the daily time in prayer. Daniel was willing to persist in prayer until God answered it. Look, the return from exile didn't happen for some 70 years. The Bible says David prayed for 60 years. 60 years he prayed. Come on, we pray for 1 week and we're like, oh, God's not going to answer it. I'm giving up. 60 years. I'm proud to say it's longer than I've been alive, but 60 years he prayed and he didn't give up. I mean, how long would you pray for something? Here's another great thing. I got to bring this out real quickly. In Daniel chapter 10, we see this incredible story. Daniel chapter 10, verse 11 says, and he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words I speak to you and stand upright, for now I've been sent to you. And when he spoke the words to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel. Listen to this, look. For from the first day that you set your heart to understanding and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard. From the first day, your words have been heard. He's been praying for 20 days up to this point. From the first day. And then verse 13. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief priests, came to me. All right, this is awesome. It brings up a whole lot of questions that we can't answer this morning. But look what it's saying. It's saying on the day that Daniel started praying, his words were heard. And this guy was dispatched to answer his prayer on the very first day. Okay, but then look. But along the way, a demonic force engaged this angel. They essentially had this like cage match for 21 days. I mean, you ever look up to heaven and think, what in the world's going on there? You and I have no idea what's happening when we pray. I think it'd blow our minds if we really understood what was going on. It's a wild day. This guy's held up. What Daniel do? From the very first day, I heard your words. From day one, I heard your words. Guess what Daniel did? Day two, he prayed. Day three, he prayed. Day four, he prayed. Day five, he prayed. You see what he's doing? He keeps going. He keeps going. Now, I don't know what, I'm not going to try to read more into this or is, but you got to wonder about the connection here. I mean, what if Daniel stopped praying on day 20? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of mystery here, but Scripture's pretty uniform. We talked about last week, persistent prayer, right? You haven't heard anything for 20 days. What does Scripture say? Knock. You haven't heard anything in 20 days. Scripture says, keep on knocking. You know, it's like that little widow lady we talked about last week. She was so persistent, went to the judge's house morning, night, and day, and knocked. To the point, Scripture says, the judge was so tired, he didn't care a lick about the lady. He wanted her off his front porch, so he gave her what she wanted. Why? Because she kept going to the judge. Daniel, three times a day, every day, Lord. Three times a day, every day, Lord. Three times every day, Lord. Three times every day, Lord. So the 21st day, he got his answer. I don't know about you, but that's what Scripture's saying. We got endurance. We have endurance in our prayers to the point where if God has answered, baby, I'm going to keep on going. Now, Scripture does give sometimes when God speaks to you like Paul. Paul kept going to the Lord about this issue he had, and the Lord actually spoke to him and said, Paul, I'm not going to answer that, but I'm going to give you grace. Now, if the Lord comes to you and says that, now, pretty good chance you better stop knocking. But until he does, guess what I'm going to be doing? I think we need to build up some endurance, because some of us have come up here to the altar and we got a heavy burden on our, we've been carrying this thing, we come into the altar, we lay down and we go out, and Monday morning we're like, all right, it's over, and Monday morning it hits us again. We're like, God, I prayed about it. What's Scripture telling us? You know what I'm going to do Monday morning? You know what I'm going to do Tuesday morning? You know what I'm going to do Wednesday morning? 21 days, Daniel. 60 years. 60 years, Daniel. myself, I'm putting myself in that situation. I'm weak. I don't have the endurance. These guys that love cross-country racing, I don't get it. I know Corey. Corey is like an ultra runner. I didn't even know what that meant till I met Corey. It's like you run all day. What? Who would want to do that? It's a person that has a need in their life. That person that has a promise. That person that knows the Word of God and knows the Word of God. My best verse says, He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. There's times where you feel all alone. And so you go to heaven and say, Lord, You made me a promise. You made me a promise. There's some of you in here today, the Lord has promised that your kids will all be saved. It hasn't happened yet. You know what you're going to do? Lord, You made me a promise. Come on. I think we need endurance in our lives. We need to start training. And while we train, how do we train? Every day we go to the Lord. Every day we're disciplined. We're not going to experience endurance unless we have discipline in our life. You won't grow. You go to a gym. Listen, you go to the gym once a week. You might grow a little bit, but you ain't going very far. You have discipline in your life to get up and go. You have discipline in your life to get up and get into work. Endurance is not going to happen overnight. You can't run all day overnight. You can't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to run all day. Your shins are going to be yelling at you by the second block. So you can do a little bit every day. Tomorrow you go a little bit further. Tomorrow you go a little bit further. Tomorrow you go a little bit further. So you get to the point where you don't want to leave the presence of God. This is what prayer does. This is the value of prayer in lives. Why don't you stand up? I need to stop. Listen. The most undervalued resource we have is our prayer life. I would dare say the most underused resource we have is our prayer life. We got some people out there. Endurance is put to the point where you get down to the altar, you're tired. Come on. We need to start exercising our prayer life. Where now it's not the last stop, it's the first stop. It's not you wait till you experience trouble, it's before you get there. You've already prayed before you got there. The Lord has already dispatched an angel to answer your prayer. The very first time I heard your voice, Daniel, I dispatched an angel. He got a little tied up, but he's on his way. Come on. Where's your prayer life at today? Where's your prayer life? Do you have the discipline and the endurance that he's called you and I to? This is our most powerful weapon. And it's a gift. You know why it's a gift? Because we shouldn't be allowed in the presence of God. But Christ wrapped us in His righteousness. And my scripture says, I can boldly come before the throne. You know where we get this song we're about to sing? And I'm sorry. I'm trying to hurry up. The song we're about to sing, it comes out of Romans 11:36, but then also a lot of it comes out of Revelations chapter 4 and verse 5. It gives us this picture that they're all around singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It even shows us here, it says the elders around, the elders fall down before the Lamb, each of them holding a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song saying, Worthy are you. Worthy are you to take the scrolls. You skip them down. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power. It's the prayers of the saints they're offering up as worship. Come on. Oh, I wish I had some more time this morning. That's how valuable your prayers are. But we're we're so undervalued in our prayers. It's time, folks. Discipline, endurance. This is how we succeed. This morning they're going to sing that song, Worthy is a Lamb. Would you make a commitment this morning? Let's practice discipline and endurance. Tomorrow morning we're going to get up, we're going to practice discipline and endurance. Tuesday morning we'll get up, we're going to practice discipline and endurance. Would you make that commitment as we sing that song this morning? Would you join us?